All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 661. Jason Lindgren is with me and Derek Condit returns. Right off the cuff, we're going to talk about remote viewing, but I'm going to let Jason flesh that out a little bit. Welcome, Jason. Can you lay down the pre-info you've got there?
Derek first encountered the terminology through Robert Munro's book, Journeys Out of the Body, in 1984. By that time, he was already experiencing spontaneous episodes of what he would later describe as remote perception. He simply didn't have the language to describe it yet. While serving in the U.S. Army, these experiences continued informally and without structured training. They weren't something he was trying to develop. They were already occurring naturally. Later in life, after countless firsthand experiences, Derek intentionally expanded his toolset by becoming a certified hypnotherapist. That training provided him with another way to explore and better understand these enhanced senses. Senses he believes all people possess, rather than abilities that are learned or acquired. For the past 8 years, Derek has worked professionally as a psychic and medium. He refers to his work not as remote viewing, but as remote perception, a heightened, lifelong sensory awareness that allows information to be perceived beyond normal limits, and one that has continued to sharpen over time.
All right, so right before I bring Derek in, of course, we're going to talk about remote viewing. We may get into his prison time, and that may relate to schizophrenia. I'm not sure if we're going to get there. We may. We're going to talk about psychic and medium work. And I also wanted to mention something about Robert Munro's books. It is my point of view that is many points of view about spirituality, about what happens after you. I think it's so helpful to get many different points of view. The Munro stuff is interesting because so many people have gone to that institute and they're not faking, I guess is the first thing I would say. But the way he wrote his books, he's basically saying, I'm not guessing about this. I observed it all firsthand. And we will get that impression as well from Derek as we talk to him. Anyhow, welcome back, Derek. It's good to have you again. Before we jump in, can you lay down where people can find you, your new place that you're opening, and all that?
Oh, sure. Happy to do that. Thank you for having me back, too. I can be found at our new website, which is cosmicshungite.com. And really, all the info kind of spreads out from there, so I can just kind of give that address to make it easy. But I'm really looking forward to this podcast. It's going to be really exciting.
So you want to jump in on the remote viewing first?
Yeah, that's a great starting point because I know we talked a little bit before the show, but just to give my perspective here, I come at this from no training whatsoever. Even early on when I was about 14 years old, when for whatever reason, I was led to go to the local library, started finding the, I'm not sure what it was called back then, but the metaphysical or spiritual sections and came across Journeys Out of the Body by Robert Munro and was reading it. And I really know what preempted it. It was because, and I didn't know I was maybe slightly different than normal, but I'll expand on that later, meaning we all do this. But I would find myself waking up in dreams and then not just that, but then being in control of them and to kind of move quickly through. I'd say that I realized that there was no real separation in dreams and reality. So I thought, well, then I can do this. And still at this time, I wasn't aware of what I read a lot about, which was astral projection and remote viewing, those terms at the time. But I would do it consciously and for just segments. And sometimes it was random. Just all of a sudden, it would be just like I'm in another reality and you could see, you could feel, you could smell all of those things. And again, with no training, and it was often random. Now, I do recall now that I'd be heightened energetically or emotional at the time. And all of those senses do tie in, as I learned later on. But that's really how I got started doing it. And then as you move forward, I had my time in the U.S. Army where I was doing it with a couple other individuals as well. And we went through some self-training and some, I'll just say, personal stuff in there. Different ways where you put different grids and coordinates and envelopes. I mean, there's lots of ways of doing this. But I quickly realized I didn't really need that. It was really just using intention. And then again, evolved from there. And when Crow mentioned my prison time, well, I was a Washington State correctional officer for 16 years in maximum security. which is where this, and I'm kind of moving quickly, because that's where it really enhanced. I don't know how far I want to get in that, but that's where I would be able to remote perceive. And that's when my terminology kind of changed, because I realized it wasn't just remote viewing, which I was doing, and time didn't matter either. I learned that as well. So regardless of going to the past or something like that, memory, as I used to call it, we can replay those tapes and actually go back in that, I don't know, segment or a moment. Again, I have no terms because I don't listen to others. I haven't read too many books on it. So I pretty much have to invent them as I go. And then again, just to jump to the back end of that, I then added on the certified hypnotherapist training because I'd already realized this is a thing. And I realized others could do it as well. So it wasn't just a Derek thing. So then I wanted to expand my toolkit and I started doing what I'll loosely call, but what they call past life regressions with clients. And then coming from my perspective of already knowing that this is an absolute thing that we can do. And then with that client being in the same awareness, more amazing things started happening. And just real quickly, and then I'll pause so you can say something, but I would regress a person into a previous segment of their life. And then they would start talking about not just feeling and interacting with the individuals, but again, smelling things. Their other senses would heighten as well. So there was no separation. And then I had to somehow try and wrap my head around that. So it's kind of a big picture. It's been happening a long time, but it has enhanced. And there weren't any special techniques I learned. It was more of a epiphanies or aha moments or realizations I would have throughout life. Just, it's a thing. And then just like your sense of smell, you can enhance that. And you don't need, to make a bad joke, a bigger nose. No, you just need to focus on your sense and differentiate the different smells in this example. It's the same way with our psychic or intuitive senses and remote viewing. Once we have that realization and go at it like that, it gets stronger.
So needless to say, this is a real phenomenon. It's gotten a lot of attention the last couple of years, especially on big shows like The Sean Ryan Show and others like that.
Oh, it's not just a natural phenomenon. I actually like the word sense, because everybody has it to one degree or another. It just depends on the realization. Again, some people don't know that you can taste through your nose, and you can, you know, you have scent and taste buds in both your nose and your mouth. So you can do it both ways. I know it's pretty basic explanation, but it's the same thing. Once you have that realization, you can do it, because it's not really an ability. It's just realizing you have a sense, like your five senses, but maybe think metaphysical sense, energy sense, because we've all, every one of us has felt to one degree or another an unusual sensation around them that they can't explain, or a pressure in their ear. Or nowadays, because I'll just say people are picking up on more of the, I don't know, again, available energies or frequencies. Those limiting words frustrate me, that a lot more people are getting what we call tinnitus. Well, you're not going deaf. That's actually usually the left ear often, not always, but often it starts there. I realized that when I would do sessions in person, I would do the psychic medium thing and communicate and see the entity. And then all of a sudden the person in front of me, they're not seeing anything visually, but they're responding right when I see that individual, I'll just say tune in, that they're trying to communicate with. And then your ears start ringing. So I just, again, didn't have a manual, wasn't given some psychic book. I just patchwork it all together. And I've realized that that's a thing as well.
So wait a minute. Are you suggesting that tinnitus is related to, let's just say, the sixth sense, which probably isn't correct? But I agree. Years ago, I didn't think much of any of this, but I've met so many people now who have this kind of perception. But is the tinnitus associated with developing senses?
It is 100% associated. Not just that. So I'll just give you an example. So if I'm, it doesn't matter if I do it remotely or in person, the session, and I communicate, my ears and even topics will just start tingling. And yeah, just the basic tinnitus that we think of, which is not in your ears anyway, that happens, but it'll elevate again, like honing your sense of smell. So then I'll get pressures, and that'll take me back to my, because I'm a commercial deep sea diver as well. So think pressures underwater, you have to do the Valsalva maneuver. So all of a sudden, again, I have to kind of invent ways to speak here because I don't know how, but the environment, wow, more is perceivable. It's kind of like the radio stations are everywhere, country, blues, rap, all that, but tuning in your radio, us, ourselves, bringing in multiple stations at once. So I can not just visually see a lot of these entities or individuals or energies, but hear them. And it's the more you know it, it's like riding a bike. You don't lean left, pedal right. You know, there's no a way to do it. You just do it and eventually get stronger. But it is absolutely. So for those that are getting more tinnitus, no, you're picking up on stuff. So when that happens, just a little add on here. If you hear ringing in your ears, well, what I do, I just chill out, relax, and then focus on that thing you call your imagination, but don't steer it. And all of a sudden, sometimes you'll have a subtle thought or an image. So it's kind of like a way there's more info to be gleaned. And then it depends on the individual if they realize that.
You know, that's an interesting thing because, you know, we just covered schizophrenia. And, you know, the medical system wants to say it's a chemical imbalance and we're going to treat it with chemicals. And the people we're interviewing, who I agree with, say, no, it's a spiritual issue. So if you're adding tinnitus to that, that to me, that would be hope, because it seems like, I don't know if you agree with me, Jason, but doesn't it seem like we meet a lot of people with tinnitus these days?
Yeah, actually.
So if what Derek is laying down, which I accept is correct, people's perceptions are waking up as we go into this new era. But if I'm not mistaken, Derek, you kind of started your journey developing the other senses, I think in the same way Robert Monroe did. And anyone listening can correct me. I have read a bunch of Monroe material, but I'm no expert. And by the way, I think people should read that stuff. I think he started having experiences and he kind of felt like there was something wrong with them. And maybe that's where it started for him. And that was similar for you, right?
It was. Yeah. I didn't know how to wrap my head around it. Again, all of a sudden doing these things and then even bringing in and it's not separate. It's like eating food. We don't just feel the food. We taste it. We smell it. I mean, there's lots of senses are involved. So when I started doing that, again, you have to differentiate. The psychic thing was part of it. So then you could glean more information. And it's really not separate. And I have a quick comment on what we call schizophrenics and things like that, or schizophrenia. My time, 16 years in maximum, I was around, I don't even know how many individuals. And I understand your terminology, or somebody had said about it being a spiritual thing. I'm going to actually kind of, so from my perspective, it's an energy thing. Because if we think spiritual, we think there's maybe bad guys around the person who has schizophrenia, they're attacking them, or they did something wrong, opened themselves up, or this, that, and the other. Just from my experience, nope, it's an energy thing to where there's an energy issue. And that's a whole nother topic in itself. So there's that vague word energy again. But it is that to where, because when I was in that prison system, my sight turned on, just go quickly. I would actually, and I didn't know anything about this. I thought, oh, some kind of mental illness. What I realized when I saw these people actually speaking, they were actually speaking to what I term entities. Not all of them were good, that's for sure. But there was something there. So then I had to wrap my head around that. And I sure wasn't telling anybody when I was in there. And I wasn't talking. I was just kind of, you know, watching the show, kind of like, well, okay, what's this all about? And I'd see a quick example. An inmate would turn around and they're in the SOC unit, the special housing unit or special offender unit, where they're medicated and there are whole deals on that one. So I would watch them. All of a sudden, for example, one would jump up, start screaming, you know, and there would be what I knew would call up until that time, a ghost or a spirit. You know, all I knew was the movie Ghostbusters and stuff like that. I wasn't into all of this, so I didn't have a way, but it's definitely a thing. And I think that's what helped me become more adept at it, coming from that perspective, just not being preloaded. I have to knock on wood 3 times to do this special yoga pose. And, you know, I'm not dissing yoga or anything. I'm just saying there isn't a set recipe. It's more of a realization to have. So when these individuals would do energy, there's that word, energy work again, it would affect and help them more than the chemicals would. If that makes sense.
Did you catch the schizophrenia episode we just did? Did you have time to catch any of it?
I didn't. I just heard about it this morning. I have not.
You should check it out. But what I really wanted to get into is when you opened, you mentioned that you read Discovering Journeys Out of the Body. Are you saying it was published in 84 or you read it in 84?
No, I don't know when it was published. That's when I came across it and many other books like it.
So in your personal experience, having started into advanced perception, I guess I'll call it, accidentally and not understanding it first, when you read Monroe's work, do you agree with it? Are you I mean, one-to-one with him and in what he's laying down and how he's describing it?
Actually, yeah. And I would, well, other than that, you know, it's like somebody trying a meal from another country they'd never been to for the first time. We're going to each describe it differently, but talk about the same thing. Yes, I'm in alignment with the way he's putting it out. I'll put it that way. But again, you know, I would word things a little bit differently from my perspective. But, you know, that's just each individual there. But yeah, the only thing I'd kind of, a little caveat on that one is the only energy or spiritual limitations I've ever seen or encountered that any of us ever have or think we have are because of our own thoughts. I've never seen, again, air quotes here, an energy around someone that can't be affected. It's kind of like if we hear a song on the radio and we don't like it and we just keep singing that thing. So then we just can't get it out of our head. Or your grandma told us our family has this genetic disease. Well, that's called epigenetics. I'm sure you guys are aware of all that. Well, not a thing. It's not. It doesn't have to carry through. So it's again, singing that song. And the same thing happens spiritually or energetically. If people, I've had many people say, well, someone told me I'm an empath and I hold on to everybody's energy. And then they start saying that their whole life. And then, okay, well, guess what happens? That kind of manifests. So it's like that. So I've never seen anything that's set concrete. It's more about the person's individual just awareness.
Do you want to get in here, Jason, before I launch?
Going back, Derek, what was your first encounter or experience with what you would call remote viewing or remote perception?
Let's think, because a lot of the first ones were segments. So just quick flashes, things like that, that I still think probably everybody has. But the first one, and I was in high school. I was probably a freshman. So I was probably about a year after I started even reading anything, when I would sit down and just all alone, I wasn't with anybody, and just decide if I could do it. And then all of a sudden, I just, again, just like turning on, I'm sure there's a movie made from this similar description. But all of a sudden, and it's not like hazy, I didn't pass through any tunnel, just like my ears are doing right now. They're energetically tingling. I don't say tingling because it's not physical, and subtle ringing going on and all that adjusted. And then bam, I was in another location, and there weren't people around. It was some mountainous region. There were a lot of animals. So there has to be some movie. I'm just blanking out on it right now, but I was there, and it was for air quotes here, 10 minutes about of my time being there, because I was walking around looking at stuff. I was trying to wrap my head around it, feeling the grass. So it wasn't, bam, I'm sitting there meeting a famous person or anything like that. No, it was a beach. So think cliffs above a beach. I don't know, maybe visualize Scotland or something like that. And that's where I was. And it was really calm. And after looking back on that years later, I was thinking, well, that makes sense. You know, don't put too much hot sauce on my first big experience like that, where it lasts, where I actually get because I was doubting in my head up until that time. I was thinking, well, something wrong, man. Why am I getting these little visuals? And for the segment ones I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, when I decided, and it was just a confidence thing, there was nothing else I'd learned. I just sat down and decided, because I'd already realized, well, it's a thing and you don't need any extra digits on your hand to be able to do it. So I'm just that guy. So it happened. And then I had that experience. And then from there, again, it's like riding a bike one time, realizing it's a thing. Even if you fall off the next 20 times, it doesn't matter. It can be done. And I went out like that. So the first one wasn't that exciting from an interaction perspective with others, but from my own, it showed me that I physically feeling the stuff there, even though I wasn't there physically. So
do you know where it was you went? I mean, or did you realize later where you went? But I have a question on top of that. When you project like that, your awareness, your consciousness, and basically you go to this other place, do you still have awareness of where your body is and what's around it?
Okay, great questions. And it was an Ireland or Scotland, you know, something like that. And I have never been there in this lifetime kind of thing. So just to answer that one quickly. And that was the first one when I said, I want to do it, experience it. I got wiser later where I can then, I'll just say, put in coordinates. And I'm not saying actual coordinates, but set an intention of a time and place or event. And I'm bringing that up because it depends how into it I want to be. If I'm doing a session with somebody and I'm remoting some experience they had or possibilities or this, that, and the other, I'm aware of what's going on here. But the person almost goes invisible to me. It's like I'm, 3D tunes out and the again, I have no other way of describing it, but the metaphysical tunes in. So sometimes I'll have to like stare at somebody in the eyes just to kind of get them back in focus here. But if I'm alone and I want to do the whole what I call distance remote perception, no, I'm absolutely aware of nothing here. And the same thing with my clients when I do the hypnosis sessions or remote, and I'm inventing new terms for some of the stuff I'm doing here because they're not out there yet, but because a lot of these clients are in awareness. I'm not just randomly, oh, you're hypnotized, I'm going to now send you here. No, it's, we're talking about it. We're setting it up. So when both individuals are, again, aware it's a thing, just to get it out there, and know it, it happens a whole lot quicker and smoother. So when either I'm doing it or I have somebody else walking them through it, you have no idea what's going on here physically in this.
So more like a dream then, similar to a dream.
Yeah, but tangible and real. Yeah. So just like, yeah, if you're, at least from the perspective of awareness, yes, like a dream, because you're separate from your body. But if you touch your arm, you're feeling it. You're feeling the wind blow. And, you know, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that, but it is a thing. So I haven't seen a limit yet either. So there was no time has never been a restriction. I think that's a made up word. Now, I'm not a physicist and I don't pretend to be one. I'm just explaining the meal in front of me the best I can from a neutral perspective, a person who's joined no clubs or religions.
We should talk about that though, Derek. That's one thing that Monroe lays down, which I think this one topic alone, it makes reading Monroe worthwhile. It's my point of view. You need to be very careful what you decide to believe in. And it's further my point of view that whatever you get stuck on in your mind or the things that you do habitually, they will have an effect. And since you've told me that you're one-to-one with him, he basically tells you that there are whole places in the astral after people pass on that are in places because of their belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great way of describing it. Yeah, and I always like the analogies, but think radio stations out there, everybody. So there's different radio stations. So, you know, blues, rap, disco, you know, all this different stuff. Well, same thing on the spiritual or energy realms. It's where your focus is. So if all of a sudden somebody passes over, or dies, you know, whatever term they want to use, and all of a sudden, pop, they're out of their vehicle, called a body, and they're in spirit form. If they are sitting there running, and I've also heard, I have to kind of throw this in. Well, you're not instantly aware of everything. You don't know all the answers once you die, they're saying. You don't know all the answers to the universe and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, and no, at least no. And I use the word entity or spirit works fine or soul. But any of that I've communicated with, and I've done over 1,000 sessions now, no, they don't become omnipotent once you're out of your vehicle. So if you have this story or belief system that you got to do this out of the other, well, okay. That's what's going to manifest. Or if you need to meet this individual to hold your hand while you do, again, whatever the belief system is, well, again, neutral guy, no judgment, but no, it's all a choice thing. And it's not a level that we have to reach before we die or something like that, or the secret, like I'm saying. But again, bringing it back, it was more so kind of flushing everything we've been preloaded with and re-realizing things. And then it's much easier that way.
There's many parts of the world that have old spiritual traditions that are based in firsthand experience, at least for learned elder practitioners. And I think that was a big part of Christianity way, 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 way back. And it's a lot less so now, which I think is unfortunate because I think the mind sciences were absolutely a part of Western Christianity back in the day. But the other thing that Monroe talks about is the idea, and I don't even know what words to use, but the idea that there are guards. So after you pass on, and he talks about, as do many others and other spiritual systems, talk about the places you can end up. He talks about, I don't know what to call them. I'll just call them guards, where it seems like their main thing is to try to get you to come back here. Can you add to that or reflect on that at all?
Yeah, I have seen similar situations and the word guards, I mean, that kind of makes sense. I'll tell you, it goes the opposite way too. They're also keeping certain levels of awareness. So I just kind of got to spiel this stuff out. And so we're all, just to give background on my perspective, we're all entities having a human experience. You know, I'm not trying to change anybody's beliefs, but that's just how I can word it. These are vehicles. And some entities have become too in awareness. They don't necessarily want back in a vehicle on this density. I didn't say dimension, density. So on this channel, for a lot of reasons. I mean, and I won't get into all those stories. And then there are the ones where, yes, they'll try and get you to come back in. And if, well, okay, if you're willing to get it and get off the ride, let's call it, and then get right back in line, and you don't think outside past that, well, then you're perfect.
Well, wait a minute. So are you saying that everyone has a chance to just not come back? Or are you saying you're here till you develop at least to some level? What exactly are you saying about this? Like, if I was the lowest spiritually developed person you ever met, but I crossed over to the other side with the idea in my mind, I don't trust you and I don't want to go back, would I be able to exit?
Yep. Great question. Absolutely. No levels. We shouldn't be talking. Not that you were, but we have to converse. There are no levels. Again, no secret psychic secrets you got to have before you died. It's always just don't preload the story in your head is all it is. So no, everybody's not destined to be back here if they don't reach psychic level 5. And I'm just making that up. Absolutely not. So let's just say it. Well, now it depends what culture you're from. So I'm going to invent a story here. So let's say there's a tribe on an island somewhere that prays to a turtle god. Well, if they start, and I'm going to tie this in, if they start using a turtle shell and it's their healing device, or they need the turtle shell to transition to the other side, you know, again, whatever, it's going to work that way because it's all in their thoughts. And of course, the turtle shell, or where I was going with that, doesn't make any difference. But if they get stuck in some storyline to where they say they have to do this, that's where I see the issue. Everybody can. So I guess the big answer is 100% of entities can absolutely leave this density or this matrix, whatever they want to call it, but just don't preempt it. And again, I just have the word load stories in yourself is all it really is. So just be open to experience. And then that's what there is. Real quickly, I had a client in here a month ago now. He came in to chat with, I think his grandparents had transitioned before, years before, but all of a sudden some male figure pops in. And long story short, and I'll keep it vague enough so I'm not actually diming the person out, but it's all good. This person comes in and said, start saying this name to me. I'm like, and I don't usually do the name thing. I don't like doing it. But I finally said, okay, here's the name. He goes, he just died 8 hours ago. How he has to do. And he starts going in the story for me about what he has to, what was it? Go through his life. I forgot how he worded it, but he had to watch a replay of his life and go through all the moments and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if he wanted to, he could have, but he wanted to chat with you. And he's just in my, I mean, I'm neutral. I didn't know this guy. I didn't know the client. I didn't know the person that just died 8 hours before. He didn't bring him up. Again, we were talking about grandparents. And all of a sudden, this person pops in and he's all shaking his head to me, the entity, the spirit, he's ringing my ears right now, saying, no. So what that told me is, in many, from hundreds of these sessions, it depends on the person's understanding or belief, how each of us spin it in our head is really what it is. So if we think all of a sudden we're trained, oh, you see a white light, that means this. Well, okay, well, do it. I'm going to go at it neutral is what I would say. Just be open and know that you can affect energies. And I won't bore you with all the science that you guys know about from talking nice to plants and nasty to another plant. One will grow. Well, it's not the actual word. It's the reverberation of that word hitting the plant. It's the intention of the individual, which is a frequency around that plant. And for example, the person talking nice to the plant, if they really loved peanut butter, they could have been thinking about peanut butter. They didn't have to sit there and think, I love you, plant, the whole time. I know that's a little bit out there, but I'm trying to expand the understanding. But I think so. It's not what you say, what you do, not books or levels. It's your intention behind it. And you can also call that the placebo effect, which all of us can do. And yeah, that's real. It doesn't make it make believe, of course. Set the intention. And that's really what I see gets stuff done or opens an awareness.
This is one of the biggest reasons that I've taken to heart about not joining groups and trying to think for myself all the time. And a lot of it relates to what we're talking about, because I accept that when we pass on, the only thing we really bring is our mind. And like, if you've got addictions, I think that's part of your mind that could come with you. These are the things I think about. But you want to know what got me started on it? Is watching all these movies where someone's about to die and a guy in a black robe comes in and he wants to get a contract from you on your deathbed. He wants that last little, you know, here I am to save your soul or whatever he's offering to you. But when I put that together with, I actually know what places like the Vatican have been up to, they're behind why we have birth certificates. it's a bit disingenuous to me at that point. So if you're going to take care of people, like the Vatican says it was gonna, as an example, then why aren't you selling off that uncountable wealth you have to feed every poor person in the world? That's not what they're doing. We've tied the birth certificates. And when I know all these things and I see one of them come into a room on a deathbed and try to get a contract out of someone, that's what finally made me begin to realize that there's something to this and it's critical to be your own mind. So the whole idea there is I'm not putting down a religious thing. What I am saying is we have so many organizations and systems in the part of the world where I live that try to get you to join a group. And then the group thinks for you, or the group decides what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And for me, that's a trap for a human being. And it's hard to talk about because truthfully, how do you go through a life in this part of the world without being parts of different groups? So in a way, it's a catch-22. But for me, the big overarching picture is these types of system is what has changed the times that my grandparents knew, where each person tried to carry their own weight mostly, and they were very can-do compared to where we are now. If any of that makes sense to you, Derek.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I basically just call religions clubs. That way I'm saying even more neutral, because I mean, in essence, yeah, I just haven't joined any clubs. Again, no set belief systems. And that was kind of, you know, I just grew up that way. So I didn't have any of that holding me down. It's like being brought up a certain type of music. Well, if you're all you listen to is country music, well, you're going to tend to, not everybody, but tend to be more in the country or that belief system. And then it's difficult, again, from both perspectives, because if you don't have a way of wrapping your head around it, all the metaphysical aspects of reality, it's distracting this life. But yeah, there are the different clubs, and I'll tell you, they transition over because you brought up certain religions and there's other clubs or organizations around here. They're not just physical. Yeah, they're here incarnate as well. But yeah, there will be, I don't know, it's again, it's not a level thing, but they're recruiters or in guards. You use the word guards. That it's both recruiter and guard. Remember, to stop some from re-entering. A lot of us, they don't want in here because look what we're talking about. So things like that, and expanding awareness, where if you're going to sign these contracts or, you know, join these clubs, well, yeah, welcome back.
So are you suggesting that some of these big groups actually have people on the other side trying to keep their attendance up?
I absolutely know they do. They absolutely do.
I think Monroe touches on this, but basically what you're saying is, I don't want to call it a racket, because I see so many people taking like the Loosh idea from Monroe, and then they go out on podcasts and they say things like this, which I think is completely unhelpful. We are in a construct here, and it's a prison planet. And by the way, to make it worse, it's a farm prison planet. Yeah. And I think that is the most hopeless, unhelpful point of view to push out to people. And though I know actually for a fact that certain elements of everything I just said can absolutely be applied to where we are, it is not a prison, because a prison you can't escape from, and you can leave this place. I've heard it from endless people. I've read about it in endless spiritual traditions. But what's more is in the modern era, I've heard enough people describe this place, some of the most, what I'll call spiritually adept people that I know, that they would describe this place as a very hard, fast school where your soul will learn in a very condensed, dense manner. And it's not easy. It can be very difficult. But out beyond what we do here, apparently there's a lot of value behind it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that makes sense. And you have the option to learn. So, of course, everybody doesn't get on, we'll call it the bumper car rides, and that's being nice, life. So, but it is the option. Some people will just back their bumper car up and just stay out of the fray, thinking, well, okay, I'm doing good. I'm not. Nope. It's a bumper car ride. You're going to get bumped. That's how you learn things, experiences, have epiphanies, understand stuff. It's not by avoiding everything. I'm not saying jump off a bridge. No, but live life and have experiences. Or, you know, you might, when you find yourself, after this life, you might want to come back and go, oh, well, I should have probably listened more and done more things, paid attention. But yeah, the only prison is your own mind. There is no prison. There's no limits unless somebody believes it.
I think that's the universal thing that I bump into, whether I'm reading Monroe or some old Buddhist or some old Hindu or so many of the older, old world traditions. Exactly what you just said is always in the middle of it, is that your mind matters. It precedes all reality, and that you take that with you. It is the only thing that you take with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the way it is. Again, I didn't have to push through, luckily for me, any preloaded stuff, any of the clubs and things like that, telling me that it's just absolutely neutral. Again, it's like having that meal in front of you. Well, I don't know what it is. Let's just experience it and see. Also, and then I kind of go at it like that and everything. And from that perspective, again, I'm not extra special, maybe extra confident in just knowing, well, anybody can manifest that. And then it'll just enhance. So no, there are no limits except ones we create.
I take it that a lot of what you're talking about blows holes in the stupid simulation theory nonsense that's going around so much these days.
Oh, yeah, that's not a thing. Again, the simulation, really, we're all doing our own simulation, if we want to use that word, in our heads.
It's what our brain is doing, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But no, if you think from like the Sims or the RPG, you know, gaming perspective sort of thing, no, it's not a pre-thing where a bunch of souls are just dumped in there and then, you know, we can call it a prisoner game. No, it's one density or channel that's available. Again, think radios. It's not like that, but I have to talk about it somehow. Of awareness, we can hold a lot of focus in and maintain a body, have some experiences. Just don't drink the Kool-Aid while you're down here, and then get out, and then it's up to you from there.
Do you agree that this could be a tricky place and that people who decided to come here forgot that they decided to come here and they forget how to exit? Do you think that's part of it?
It is part of it, because I went through that whole scenario in my head thinking about, well, if I've done this, that, and I've done years of this now and worked with other people on this, and it's not an absolute that, boom, your spirit enters a physical vehicle and you're erased and this, that. No, you're in a vehicle with a dirty windshield that you need to learn through life to either focus and look through or clean off and expand your awareness. So it's not, yeah, we come in again in limited vehicles. I have to talk about, again, analogies, but meaning not hyper aware of the metaphysical senses as we've been talking, but they're sure aware of the physical senses. If you get hit and, you know, smelly things and stuff like that, it's really, once we start spinning it in our heads, as I was saying, like that, well, then you realize that most of the limitations in this reality that we all perceive are metaphysical. Is there a big heavy object sitting on your head stopping you from moving? Is there, you know, I know there are some physical things. I get that. But typically the things, the obstacles, I mean, they're metaphysical, meaning you can't reach out and grab it. You know, love, stress, hate, all those things are, you can't see a piece of it in your hand though. So it's metaphysical. Well, how we affect that is with our imagination and emotions. That's it. And we can work in all other trinkets and, again, tap things and rattle this, that, and the other. And if that, those things help us focus, great, fantastic. So I'm not dissing any modality. I'm just saying the bigger thing behind it is the intention behind it. And you can do that in your mind.
Do you think it's safe to describe this place, as so many do, as maybe school or learning center is not the best description, maybe more a very dense, very fast, almost boot camp learning experience? Do you think it's safe to frame what we're doing here in this very dense reality in that way?
Absolutely. And especially because so many levels of perception. So we're blended with not just the five physical senses, but all the, and there's really not a limit, the metaphysical stuff, the emotional stuff, the energy stuff, the psychic stuff, all. And then we are running around here calling, it's good, we're 90% energy, 10% physical about, and yet we're all taught to ignore our metaphysical or energy aspects of ourselves. It's the exact opposite. I've seen people come in with what they call an injury, and I see their aura or biofield. I'm like, that's an energy thing, so you can affect that instantly. And all of a sudden, their physical injury went away. I'm like, you're not physical, you're energy. The issue is in your energy or emotional body. And again, to affect that, just have a thought. Again, grab your turtle shell if that's a thing, or your sage, or whatever it is, and know that you affected it. Grab your sugar cube, placebo effect, all the same thing. and just do it. And all of a sudden, that air quotes here, physical injury will go away. We're not physical, we're energy. It's just different than we think. Because I used to think, oh, if I have a physical injury, my aura is going to show an injury. No. If you have a emotional trauma going on or something like that, often it's in the mid chakra or energy area. Well, that energy stays around that area, which then manifests physically. It's the exact opposite as I was first learning.
Can you remote project at will at this point?
I can. And it's usually during session. It's now I'm hesitating because it varies on like if it's in a session, who's around me, and it's not. It's more so their thoughts. So, because that can be a lot. So if somebody's with me and they're often, you know, spirits are coming with them, entities, past relatives and things. So a big room full of spirits, and I like spirit guides is a term I like to use. That makes it difficult sometime. So I'll halfway do it. I'll remote in my head and see it, but still be here. But if I'm on my own, I can do it on call. And the other weird thing, started doing that, is on cue, waking up in dreams, not just waking up, but deciding before I go to bed at this, there go my ears again, just tingling, exactly on cue at whatever point, and it's instant. I don't have to sit there and again, do some breathing exercise. And I'm not making fun of that either, because those are great things, but each individual does it differently. But my physical environment, I guess is a better way of describing that, can affect that. So if all of a sudden a loud noise, just like in the hypnosis stuff, if all of a sudden a train drives by, you know, messes with me, but it can be done instantly.
Well, what about time and geography? Say you were planning to do a remote viewing session. Time and geography really don't matter, right?
Not whatsoever.
So no matter how far away or how long ago it happened, is that also true of things that have not happened yet? Or is that a different ball of wax?
Okay, it's similar, but I'll tell you, if however many people focus on the, let's throw the word future in there, it's malleable. So no, there is not, at least from, again, my perspective, one guy, I have never seen, and or people say, it's my chart that I wrote when I entered this life that says I'm going to have two kids and die at 75 or blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, that's not it. I see those charts, as we'll just call them, because people will believe that and have those thoughts. But the second I get them to change their thoughts, that gets hazy and changes. There's no exit point because mommy and grandma died by the time they were 70. I'm not going to live. I've heard it all. None of that is accurate. So anybody listening, don't for one second think that if your parents or siblings died, that you're going to die at this age, because 100% not. Sing the song, well, maybe something different. But it's definitely not a concrete set thing. I think I may have gotten off your question there a little bit.
Well, I was talking about remote viewing and the idea that it really doesn't matter whether it's a mile away or 1,000 miles away, or in some claims on some luminary in what we call space. But for a long time, I had issues with so much of this. And I think it's mostly because there were so many charlatans in the remote viewing book publishing world. But I began to put it together, believe it or not, years ago when I started reading James Shelby Downard and the work of Michael Hoffman, because he pointed out for the first time in a way that proved people were using geomancy. In other words, a place was being used so they could leverage on an energy. And that's what allowed me to start to be able to put all this together, up to the point where I remember hearing about the so-called corona visor in the Vatican basement the first time and kind of chuckling like, yeah, right. Give me another peyote milkshake, you know? But what I realize now is there's residues. Everything that happens leaves residues. And for someone to be able to remote view a past time or a distant place that's already occurred, there has to be something left of that. My point being is it would not surprise me in the least if someone figured out how to tune in on those frequencies with a device. But is that a fair way to say it? That when things occur, there's an energy residue that is marking that place in time?
Yeah, that's a good way. Just like for me, it's hard to describe this stuff, but absolutely there is. And then some have more than others. And the only thing I saw in that is, you know, if more people know about it, be it a person or a situation or a thing that happened or whatever the deal is we're remoting, you'll have more feelings from it. Yeah, it's absolutely like that.
It's why, as an example, not to interrupt, but that's why Ground Zero at 9/11 is a power place now, because of what was done there.
Oh, I have an add-on for you're right about that. And here's another add-on that I don't know if people know, but dams, energy plants, so coal, you know, yep. whatever. Those things, again, I don't have, we should have 50 words for the word energy because, you know, you don't love your peanut butter like you love your significant other. You know, there's different levels. So I get a little stuck there. But those heightened energy spots, waterways, things like that, do, and we can talk electrons all day long, but it's more than that. They do help amplify the previous stuff. So kind of like an antenna. And maybe somebody spieled this out better than me. I don't know. But that is a thing as well, I've realized.
Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, but it's funny you said that. Maybe we should open up with the next hour. You know, Jason and I have covered how there's like multiple more deaths on big construction projects that have to do with dams and bridges. I used to equate it to like cutting an artery of the earth. Like if you dam a waterway, it's kind of like what causes a stroke in a brain, right? You're blocking a flow channel. And then we did things like talked about the old myths, like the troll under the bridge is actually that same idea. And then there are writers, I think it may even be James Shelby Downard, that claims that evil spirits hang under overpasses. But Jason, is there anything you want to add before we wrap up hour one?
Well, in hour two, I was wondering, could you address what you know of and comment on the people who are doing a lot of interviews about what had gone on? I think it started in the 60s or 70s. And a lot of the claims that they've made about going to places, remote viewing things like military targets and things like that, and supposedly really nailing stuff.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. I'm jotting down notes right now, and I have some good info on that.
All right. Well, we can open with that. So let's keep it in mind. Derek, why don't you tell folks where they can find you and the new establishment you're opening before we wrap up hour one and take a short break?
I appreciate that. So for online, we have a huge Shungite store and the address is cosmicshungite.com. But here in Mount Vernon, Washington, we're relocating and renaming our store and it's going to be Bigfoot's Gems. And that'll be found at bigfootsgems.com as well.
All right. Well, I wish you luck as you open up the new place. And I know you have a lot of interesting people coming through there. We're going to take a short break for hour one. We're going to open up on the topic we just mentioned. After 5 minutes, we will jump into hour two. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members get access to all the forums and comment sections. They get free access to Shoot the Moon, which covers all my already accomplished telescope work on chemtrails, so-called UFOs, the moon, eclipses, lunar waves, that kind of thing. They also get, oh, I should mention, new subscribers now get to choose free solar images they can print. Some of them print up to about 50 images. Lastly, members get access to my current, exclusive access to my current solar telescope work. With that, we're going to take a short break, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. Please join us as members and tune in for hour two. There it is, man. Cheers. We'll be right back.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.